Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to find out all about the month of the military child and learn about Vets Day on the Hill. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military children play an important part in the life of a military family. They give our service members encouragement, love, and hope for the future. They're a special group of kids, and in times of separation from their military parent, they have a unique set of challenges. We've learned over the years that one of the best ways to nurture and empower military kids is by connecting them with other military children. They might be the only one in their school with a parent in the military, but there are others going through the same things across our state. This summer, I encourage all military families to get their children connected through camps. There are a handful of camp opportunities available this summer, and I'm proud of the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp that will be held at Camp Ripley for two separate weeks in late July and August. The camp allows Guard kids ages 10 to 15 to experience things like canoeing, archery, hiking, and a confidence course with their peers from across our state. There are also camps for military kids of all branches of service available in July and August. Even a family camp is available. Our team at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon keeps a watchful eye out for camps offered specifically for military children and posts that information on their website. I encourage you to visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org, pick out a camp that will work for your family, and get your children registered.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. April is the month of the military child, which is an opportunity to celebrate military youth across the nation. Specifically in Minnesota, the governor has written a proclamation recognizing April as the month of the military child. And joining me now to talk about that is Jenny Reckfertig, Family Programs Deputy, and Mariah Legvold, Child and Youth Program Coordinator. Jenny and Mariah, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, I don't know who wants to start, so Jenny, we're going to start with you. You want to tell me a little bit, what's the Month of the Military Child? How big of an event is that?
Well, Month of the Military Child is always a great time of the year for us to recognize military-connected youth. So it's important for kids to know that they're supported and see the support in their communities. So that's a big deal for the country and for people just to take the time out to recognize the sacrifices that the youth make on behalf of their loved one or their service member.
And Jenny, you are a service member. How long have you been in the Air National Guard?
I am a member of the 148th Fighter Wing, and I've been in for 9 years. And I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
So you know a little, this is near and dear to your heart, isn't it?
Very. It is.
So there'll be some fun programs as your children get older that they can participate in.
Yes, and some things now will be relevant. Some things, for example, there's a book that we'll have book readings throughout the month at schools. And the book is The Kissing Hand. And I've been practicing that with my son. He hasn't read the book yet, but it's basically about just giving a kiss to your little one on their hand and letting them know that even though you're not always there, you'll still be with them. You know, if you're at guard drill or away on duties. And so I look forward to my son getting to read the book together. But there'll be some senators and representatives reading those books, and then they'll hopefully be played in the schools in their district.
And once you start reading the book to them, every time you read them, don't skip a page because they'll know. My grandchildren taught me this. Mariah, how long have you been working with the state family programs?
It will be 3 years in March.
And you were here with us last year when we were talking about Month of the Military Child.
Yes, I was.
And how did all those programs go last year? Was it a pretty good year?
They went great. Yes, we had a book reading at Padilla Academy in Apple Valley, and Command Sergeant Major Wortham came, and he did a book reading and wore these really funny glasses, and the kids just loved it. They just laughed a lot. And so that school does a really great job of supporting military kids in their schools, so we just wanted to honor them by hosting it there.
So I can see that the Sergeant Major was hamming it up with the kids.
He was, yes.
I'm sure he did a good job of it.
He did great.
Can we start out, Mariah, can you tell me, what's a teen panel?
So the teen panel is a group of military teens who have parents in the military, specifically the Army National Guard. And this year it's a group of 11 of them. And they are, in essence, leaders. They're the voice for all military kids in Minnesota. And they get together about four times a year, and they plan what's called the Teen Summit. And that's an event that happens in the summer for military teens who are in high school, so 9th grade through 12th grade. And it's an opportunity for them to come together as military teens, develop support for each other, learn about leadership skills, attend workshops, and just gain new experiences as well.
I think last year when we were here, we had a member of the teen panel on the show, didn't we?
That's correct. Yes, Bailey was here.
And as I recall, she said it was a good experience to get together with teens from all over the state and get to know each other and share some stories about what it's like to be a military child.
Yes, that's right. That's a huge positive that they always say that they enjoy about the Teen Summit or just being a part of the teen panel as well.
So when do they get together this year?
This year, the dates are June 17th through the 19th.
And how do they get an opportunity to participate in that?
So they can go to our Facebook page, which is Minnesota National Guard Youth Programs, and they can get more information on there. Or they can also, they can just go to our Facebook page.
All right. We're speaking with Jenny Rekvertig and Mariah Legvold about the Month of the Military Child on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Mariah, when they come together for the teen panel, that happens at the next Teen Summit, is that correct?
So they have one more meeting left in May, and at that meeting, they will get together the final details, and then they'll have the summit in June. So right now, that they have actually decided on a theme this year, and the theme is Olympics, because this year is also the Summer Olympics, so they're just kind of tagging off of that. So the theme is 2016 Summer Olympics is their theme.
So are they getting pretty excited about that?
They are. They were coming up with a lot of great ideas at our last meeting. They break into small groups, so each small group will be a different country. What else do they have going on? They have an actual Olympics where they will compete in different activities, and they'll get some kind of medal or something for that. So it'll be very competition-focused to get their energy going.
I'm skipping around a little bit, but does that culminate at the National Guard Youth Camp at Camp Ripley later in the year for those teens on the panel?
Some of them are very involved in the National Guard Youth Camp. We have three of them that I know that have been junior counselors there before, and they are going to be junior counselors again this year as well. So that's great experience for them, too, to gain leadership skills there at the National Guard Youth Camp, too.
And the youth camp, let's stay on that. The National Guard Youth Camp will be at Camp Ripley in, is it July and August?
That's right. It's the last week in July and the first week in August. It's 2 weeks.
And you get to participate in those things and make sure everything goes well?
No, we actually just sit on the board for youth camp, but we do encourage and promote that kids would go to that as well. So.
And is it too early for our listeners to be thinking about signing up for that?
No, it's never too early for that. Never too early to think about summer. So.
And where do they go to sign up for that?
They can actually go to Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp's website, which is mngyc.org.
So they go in there and they can, it's not too early to sign up?
No, it's not.
And
nope.
Are there a lot of children participate in that?
In the past, they have had a lot of kids participate. I believe their numbers are growing from the years past. So they're gaining a lot of interest of kids who have participated. So.
All right. Let's think about spring and think about those camps coming up.
Yeah.
Jenny, I want to come back to you. I understand that there's something special going on at the Mall of America.
Yes, we're really excited about the Mall of America event on April 15th. April 15th is Purple Up Day, so that is the national day to wear purple and really show your support for military youth, military-connected youth. The Mall of America is going to, we're running a photo contest from March 15th to April 15th, so that'll be an opportunity for families to have military kids show their military pride in their family and submit a photo, and there'll be great prizes through Mall of America. They're going to do events such as Build-A-Bear workshops you can get signed up for. There'll be character appearances. Fox Sports North is going to be there. USAA is actually sponsoring 150 bears for military-connected youth to build, so it'll be a great event. Rock and Ride will be a DJ. There'll be a DJ there, and they'll get them all fired up, and they'll get to ride some of the rides at Mall of America.
So Purple Up is April 15th. And it's a day that everyone in the state can wear purple to show their support of military youth.
Yes, you can get T-shirts from us on the youth program's webpage. We have T-shirts for $15. You can also post pictures on Purple Up MN. We really want to push that and get a lot of pictures from the community and people showing their support and wearing purple.
And I understand that all proceeds go towards supporting Minnesota military-connected youth.
That it does. We have some other great events, so look for Timberwolves games, art contests, so there'll be lots of opportunities.
Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Month of the Military Child and some other events that are coming up. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ready, aim, fire! Ready, aim, fire!
Across Minnesota this past year, hundreds of veterans were honored in their final rites by an American Legion Honor Guard. We take care of our comrades to the end. But the Legion does so much more in Minnesota, from Boys and Girls State to Legionville Safety Patrol Camp to baseball. Please visit your local post and find out what the American Legion does in your community. Please join us in continuing to serve America.
Hello, this is Stephen Whited, Adjutant of the DAV Minnesota, looking for volunteer drivers to help transport our Minnesota veterans to their appointments at VA medical facilities around the state. The DAV Minnesota has provided vans for this use and work with our county veteran service officers, provides transportations to get our veterans to their medical appointments. We need volunteer drivers all over Minnesota. Please call the DAV Minnesota headquarters to help with this mission. Please call 651-291-1212 or visit davmn.org. Please volunteer today.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking these segments with Jenny Reckfertig and Mariah Legvold about Month of the Military Child, because April is the Month of the Military Child, which is an opportunity to celebrate military youth across the nation. Specifically in Minnesota, the governor has written a proclamation recognizing April as Month of the Military Child. And Jenny, we were talking about Purple Up. And that's a day on April 15th that there's some festivities at the Mall of America, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that day is a Friday, so it's a great day of the week to have a party at Mall of America. And military families can come out and bring their kids, all ages. There'll be events from about 3 in the afternoon. The earlier half of the day, will be for the younger kids. So they'll have character appearances from popular shows that age group likes to watch. And then the second half of the evening will be focused more on teenagers with the Rock and Ride DJ event. So we're really excited to get families out and together and to really reach the kids kind of where they're at in the mall atmosphere with a lot of fun. The Mall of America puts on always really nice events. They had the Holiday for Heroes this year, and there was a huge turnout. And so it'll be a similar way of getting the message across. So Mall of America will send out an invitation so families can respond and get in on that.
So Purple Up on April 15th is a day that everyone in the state can wear purple to support show their support of military youth. Now, is there this year a letter available from the governor?
There is a letter, again, available from the governor. So he does that. They do that from that office every year, and it is surprising. Kids really do. It reaches their heart that they take the time out to thank them that the state takes the time out to thank them for their sacrifices for their loved ones. So it is a nice thing that the governor's office is doing.
So how do the parents arrange to get the letter sent to their military children?
They can go to a website, and they can electronically fill out a form, That form will then be sent to the governor's office, and then they will get that letter in the mail sometime during the month of April.
And the website?
The website is, like, I don't remember off the top of my head.
We'll post it on the Facebook page,
yeah.
Okay, so go to the Month of the Military Child Facebook page, and you'll have something there on how to get that letter.
The National Guard Youth Programs Facebook page.
Yeah, right. So it's MN National Guard Youth Programs. That's the best place to get all of our information for right now.
Yeah, and all of our updates, too.
Okay, Mariah, I understand you've got an art contest.
Yeah, so also with Month of the Military Child, this is our third year for doing it. We're hosting an art contest, and it's for kids who are kindergarten through 12th grade who have a family member. It can be a mom, dad, brother or sister, anybody who is currently serving or retired, they can enter an art contest. And this year's theme is Military Pride, Your Hero Inside. So we really want them to show on their artwork their military pride, how they feel about being a military kid. What does it mean to them? Because we have ideas of what we think it's about. But what we want to hear from them, what's their input? What's their perspective? And so this year, there are some requirements in terms of what the artwork is. So we do ask that it's 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, landscape size. And then we also asked that it would be like in crayon, marker, colored pencil, some of the familiar arts utensils. And then we're also hoping that this artwork then goes into a calendar and or displayed at the state fair, too. So we're looking at kind of blowing this up this year and making this kind of more of a bigger deal than it has been in the past.
So the theme this year is Military Pride, and the entry should be submitted by April 30th.
April 30th is the deadline.
Okay. We're speaking with Jenny Rekvertig and Mariah Legvold on Minnesota Military Radio. And Jenny, we've learned in the past that when we're talking about Month of the Military Child, that military children experience some things that that civilian children don't. Specifically, when one of their parents or both are deployed, they sacrifice as well. And it's important to get the military children together so that they can compare notes and make friends and do things. But April is a really big month, Month of the Military Child. What else have you got going on for that month?
Right. So the Timberwolves are also giving us some tickets for two games, April 3rd and April 11th. And the 11th, we're really focusing on doing a bigger event. And so there'll be pre- and post-game activities. They're talking about letting us cut down the net after the game, those type of activities, getting to get together with the mascot, Crunch, and get some photo opportunities maybe during the game and doing allowing some of the military kids to do the events that are happening during the game. So how many tickets do we have for that, Mariah?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know that there are quite a few tickets that we have for both games, April 3rd and 11th.
And then they'll also get to go on the court and do the anthem buddies and go through the tunnels. So a lot of fun stuff. Timberwolves were gracious enough to do this for us last year, and it went really well. Yeah. Mariah was there. The kids had a great time.
They did. Yeah, their eyes just lit up when they saw the players running out, and it was such a big deal to them. They were just so gracious that we offered for them to be a part of that. So
probably really enjoyed the mascot, too.
They did, yes. They got some pictures with the mascot last year, too. Yeah.
All right, and Jenny, we mentioned in the first segment something about a book reading.
I did, yes. I mentioned the book reading. So there's going to be some book readings at some schools, and any school could do this sort of activity. Lots of schools, if they wanted to get involved, could read a military sort of themed book or something about resilience. The biggest thing is the resilience of military connected youth. It amazes me and how strong, like the teen panel and the teens that come and military youth, what they bring to the table and how resilient they really are. And so we try to encourage those skills and give them the tools to do that. And then all of the support that the community shows, such as the book readings at the schools that can be hosted. And there's one in Little Falls and one happening in Proctor. And Senator Franken and Representative Paulson are going to be reading a book, and then it'll be played at their school in whatever format they want to do that. But communities can also do things like put up signs around the community, like on display boards that say we support military connected youth, so that while people are driving around and the kids are driving around with their families, they see that they're being recognized throughout the community.
And anything else we should be aware of other than April 15th is Purple Up Day?
Yeah, wear purple and put some pictures on the hashtag Purple Up. #PurpleUpMN, and let's get some pictures on there so we can show kids that everybody cares about them and appreciates the sacrifices that they make for the service members.
Thank you, Jenny. Mariah, we've got about a minute left. Some final thoughts for our listeners about April being the month of the military child.
Well, one thing we always want to make sure that people know about Month of the Military Child is it's really about celebrating. It's a celebration of what these kids do all year long. And so all month long in April, it's just a big party for these kids. So on April 15th, when we go to Mall of America, we really want everybody there to really celebrate what these kids have done as being a part of a military family and being a military kid, because it is tough. And these kids are resilient during tough times, because there are a lot of them being a military kid.
And the best place to find more information is your Facebook page?
That's correct. Minnesota National Guard Youth Programs.
Okay, yes. So everybody check out that Facebook page and get a purple shirt for April 15th. And if you can't, go in there and see if you can buy one for, I think t-shirts are available for $15?
That's correct, $15. And they come in youth and adult sizes this year.
So I hope you sell a lot of those.
Yes.
All right, ladies, we're just about out of time. Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
All right, thanks for having us.
That was Jenny Reckfertig and Mariah Legvold talking about the April being the month of the military child on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about Vets Day on the Hill. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Target Corporation. Target was Minnesota's first Yellow Ribbon Company and led the way for how organizations can support, honor, and recognize our nation's military. Target has provided volunteers to assist job-seeking veterans with resume review and interview preparation. Many of the Target stores across the state have connected and partnered with Yellow Ribbon community networks to support veterans and military families. Target Corporation has been a Yellow Ribbon company since December of 2008 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about Veterans Day on the Hill. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner. Now, here's a message from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Commissioner Larry Shelato.
This month, we reflect on the significant historical contributions of American women and honor their accomplishments both past and present. In doing so, we also recognize the importance of our women's veterans and the sacrifices they have made throughout history. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male comrades. However, their service often goes unrecognized. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is honored to serve those women who have contributed so much to our nation. Join me in honoring and thanking our servicewomen, past and present.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The second half of the show today, we're going to talk about an event called Veterans Day on the Hill, which is brought about by an organization called the Minnesota Commanders Task Force. And the Minnesota Commanders Task Force was created in 1988 and is comprised of elective commanders and appointed adjutants of 9 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations in the state of Minnesota. And they include the American Ex-Prisoners of War, American Legion, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans, Jewish War Veterans, Marine Corps League, Military Order of the Purple Heart, VFW, and Vietnam Veterans of America. Joining me now to talk about this is the adjutant of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, Stefan Whitehead. Stefan, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Stefan, you're part of as an adjutant, you're part of the Commander's Task Force, and you're kind of sitting in today for the commander of the DAV. Greg couldn't be with us today.
Yeah, Greg is actually a busy man. As being the commander, he's always has about 2 or 3, 4 things going on at the same time, so unfortunately he wasn't able to make it today.
And he's a county veteran service officer.
Correct.
So he's got plenty to do. And you brought along with you today a past department commander, Bob Connor. Bob, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Stefan, I want to come back to you. What are the duties? What does the Commander's Task Force try to accomplish each year?
Well, one of the big things we're talking about is developing the United Veterans legislative agenda and actively advocating for it before our state elected officials. And then we also want to serve as our nonpartisan advisor group to the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the governor, and the legislators of our veterans on any issue across the state.
And Commissioner Shelato likes to refer to you as his board of directors.
That is correct. He's very very active, and we're always knocking on his door about things. And then one of the other things is working to seek and form veteran service organizations, partnerships, and programs development, for example, the State Veterans Day Program.
So there's an event coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's put together by the Minnesota Commanders Task Force, the United Veterans Legislative Council, and the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And they'll be holding this year's Veterans Day on the Hill at the Cedar Street Armory on Wednesday, March 16th at 10 a.m. This is a free event, and all veterans are welcome to attend. This is a day veterans come together and deliver a unified message to energize the legislature on veteran-related issues and advocate for their 2016 legislative agenda. The event is open to the public, and veterans are encouraged to attend and meet with their legislators by appointment at the conclusion of the rally. So for all our listeners out there, all those veterans, it's at the Cedar Street Armory, Wednesday, March 16th at 10 a.m. And Stefan, I know that each year the Commander's Task Force comes together and they have to unanimously agree on an agenda, and you actually print up some information on that, don't you?
Yeah, that's correct. We actually get together and we work with Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as a partner with them. We built a great list this year, we feel, and there is seven key things that we really want to focus on this year for our legislative actions.
Well, what's the first one?
Well, what I really want to talk about is the military pension tax exempt. And the reason for that is we want to keep our retirees here. You know, it's very, very common to see our well-trained, well-educated veterans, you know, that spent time in the military, do 20-plus years in the military, come back, and then when they retire, they go somewhere else because they have better taxes across. And, you know, we're one of the fewest states that have the poorest tax credit for our veterans.
So when our active duty service members retire, even if they are from Minnesota, a lot of them tend to look around and say, where can I go live and not have my military pension taxed? And Minnesota isn't one of those states.
That is correct.
And last year we learned that Wisconsin changed this law about a decade ago, and they have some numbers that prove that these folks come home, they're young enough, they still have to get back into the workforce and go to work, and they've proven that they bring money into the economy for the state, and this is a plus.
That is a huge plus. It really is. And that's one of our top priorities this year, is really to get this one hammered home and getting passed.
So the proposal would eliminate taxes on military pensions for Minnesota residents. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, that sounds like a big one and kind of important one. We'd like to have all of our Minnesotans that went off to active duty come back home, don't you think?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, Bob, let's go to you. What's the next item on the agenda?
Bonding and funding. The Commander's Task Force urges lawmakers to support the Department of Veterans Affairs bonding request for improvements and repairs and betterment dollars for the Minnesota veterans' homes. One of the things is some of them, especially the Minneapolis home, has been around for a lot of years, and there's a lot of asset preservation dollars needed to keep the buildings in shape and make it a fine place for the veterans at the end of their life where they can have a good home. And also at the Minneapolis home, there is a bridge across Minnehaha Parkway that
been closed for a while.
Yeah, closed by the Department of Transportation due to safety concerns. And if the bridge is reopened, it's critical for ambulance, fire, and other essential safety requirements, but also it will be easy walking distance for the residents if they want to catch the light rail. Although there is at this time a bus service that comes up to the door, it's a long roundabout way to get to the light rail, which is one of the accessible ones. To get people to downtown, out to the Mall of America, to the Veterans Hospital.
So with that bridge closed, we've got one way to get in and out of the grounds over there.
Through Waban Park and a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit and three stop signs.
So what we're talking about here is a semiannual bonding bill, and part of it is to take care of the facilities that are overseen by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Exactly. Unfortunately, most bridges are the Transportation Department's responsibility, but this one falls upon the Department of Veterans Affairs.
We're speaking with Stefan Whitehead and Bob Connor from DAV Minnesota about the Commander's Task Force legislative agenda on Minnesota Military Radio. Stefan, what's the next item we want to cover?
Well, I think it's a really critical one, is that's that permanent housing, homestead marketing value exclusion for widows or widowers of greater than 70% service-connected veterans. What this is amending a proposal to Minnesota Statute 273.13 Subdivision 3-4 to extend it, what currently reads is 8 years to a spouse to actually permanently exempt for that widower to get this tax exempt, which, you know, if you think about it, this loved one just lost somebody that gave the ultimate sacrifice. You know, we should be taking benefits away from that person when their loved one leaves.
So if the service member was 70% or more service-connected disability, while he or she were alive, they had this exemption, And then if that service member died, then we're not treating the widow or widower very well, are we?
No, we're not. You know, in 8 years, and that's not much time. You need to look at it. And otherwise, now, if that widower gets married, of course, then they lose that benefit. So, I mean, this is just for those widow or widowers that do not remarry. They shouldn't lose that, you know, benefit. That's something that they've lived with, and they need that benefit to continue their life.
And at that point in their life, they're not getting all of a sudden a raise so that they have the ability to pay these property taxes,
correct,
do they? Well, that's a great thing to work on. Bob, we've got about 2 minutes left. Is there another item we want to talk about before we go to break?
Yes, one of them is called a disclosure statement, and this is the kind of legislation that we can come in with that is not a revenue request to the legislators, which they kind of like. And it's to support the creation of a law requiring a disclosure statement and waiver language. The proposal would create a written disclosure statement and waiver that must be signed by the veteran if they are seeking veterans benefits services from private for-profit providers, including attorneys. The statement will, at a minimum, indicate that they understand the advocacy and veterans benefit services are offered at no cost by federally chartered veteran service organizations and by county veteran service officers.
So, Bob, these things we've talked about so far, all of these agenda items have been approved by all of the members of the Veterans Task or the Commander's Task Force.
It has to have a unanimous approval of the commanders.
And then we need all the veterans of Minnesota to show up on the Veterans Day on the Hill and show some strength and see what we can do on these things.
Exactly. The legislators like to see us there, and if they see us there in good numbers, they take us seriously.
I would think so. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got a few more items to talk about Veterans Day on the Hill, which is going to be March 16th at 10 a.m. at the Cedar Street Armory. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking today about an event called Veterans Day on the Hill, which will be at the Cedar Street Armory on Wednesday, March 16th at 10 a.m. It's a free event open to all veterans, and we'd encourage all the veterans to come over there and help with these legislative agenda items that the Commander's Task Force has put together. And one of our guests today has been Bob Connor. And Bob, I understand you're a past department commander for the DAV of Minnesota.
That's correct, Tom.
And you've been working on legislative issues for how long?
Well, since 1976.
Well, that should make you kind of an expert on what's going on up on the Hill, doesn't it?
Well, there's always more to learn, and it changes quickly.
Well, we're glad to have you here sitting in for Greg and helping us understand what the Commander's Task Force is up to. And, Stefan, I wanted to just talk a little bit. We named the 9 veteran service organizations that comprise the Commander's Task Force, and it's the commanders of each of those and the adjutants. And they're really representing the membership of VFW and the American Legion and the DAV and all of the others. And all of those voices kind of add up and give you a little punch up on the Hill.
That is correct. That's why it's so important that we get membership. You know, you don't need to be active in these organizations, but it is very helpful to have the numbers, because those numbers are what actually helps us up on the Hill as we're pushing for these legislative actions. They look at the numbers of our organizations, and that has a lot of weight when you can pull up there and say, hey, you have a couple hundred thousand members of the state pushing for this. That's a big power.
So for all our veterans out there listening, if they don't happen to belong to a veteran service organization, if they just go sign up, they're lending their voice to this effort each year.
That is correct. The voice is our goal. So if you don't know, contact your local post or, you know, go to the websites and just sign up. That's a huge, huge power for each organization.
Bob, we've just got a few minutes, and we've got a few more legislative agenda items to get into. I understand you want to talk about the Minnesota GI Bill.
That's correct, Tom. We would like to expand some of the permitted uses of it to include paying benefits for costs such as school applications, exams, licensing, and other certifications. This would do more to get the veteran job ready, and broadening the use of these fees and expenses would help in improving things for the veteran to get into the workforce and full-time and at a good paying job.
And, Stefan, a follow-up to that is I understand there's you're working on some MinSCU, Minnesota State College and University's tuition waivers.
Yeah, that's correct. We're trying to put a bill together here to help the 100% service-connected disabled veterans and allow them to go back to school. The legislation would provide additional incentives to 100% service-connected disabled veterans to pursue higher education, enhancing their employability, and better positioning themselves to succeed in the workforce. thus reducing unemployment costs and the numbers as it relates to veterans. And further, it is estimated that this will have a long-term positive impact on our state.
We're speaking with Stephan Whitehead, adjutant of the DAV of Minnesota, and Bob Connor, past department commander, about Veterans Day on the Hill. Once again, that's at Cedar Street Armory on Wednesday, March 16th at 10 a.m. Free event for all veterans. Come on up and lend your voice to all this good work that the Commander's Task Force has put together. And Bob, I want to come back to you. There's another item for about concerning some hunting and small game and fishing.
That's correct, Tom. We have now only 100% disabled veterans get the free hunting and fishing licenses, and we'd like to add more people eligible to that, down to veterans 50% or more service-connected disabled. Hunting and fishing is a Minnesota tradition, and just about everyone that's put time in the military was already qualified with some kind of a firearm. And the peacefulness of getting out and the fishing, dipping a line, is a nice recreation. And an increase in individuals' participation in hunting and fishing is likely to have a positive impact on greater Minnesota, getting more people out to resorts and that.
And Bob, I think the Commander's Task Force put together a little booklet on all these legislative items. Is that available somewhere so our veterans can get a hold of that before this March 16th date?
Online, they can download it off the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, and we will have copies for distribution at the Cedar Street Armory on the day of our Veterans Day.
So if they go to the MDVA website, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, they can look up the Commander's Task Force legislative agenda.
That's correct.
And they can read up on all of these items that the task force has agreed upon this year to push up in, on Veterans Day at the Hill, March 16th, 10 a.m. at the Cedar Street Armory.
And we would encourage them to do that so that when they come there, they're ready to discuss in detail with their particular legislator.
Stephan, you've been adjutant for a couple of years now. It seems like every year there's a couple of real important things, and looks to me like that the pension item is pretty important this year.
That's very important this year, and as we have organizations going out and doing town hall meetings across the state, that's been very popular and very important to our veterans across the state. So we need people to show up the day of Vets Day in the Hill, March 16th, and as we call it in the service organization, bring your hats. We need to see the hats there in the stands so legislators know this is important. So please free up your calendar if you can and come up on March 16th and be part of the Vets Day on the Hill to help lobby our important legislative actions.
So once again, it's Veterans Day on the Hill, Cedar Street Armory in St. Paul, Wednesday, March 16th at 10 a.m. It's a free event and all veterans are welcome to attend. Stephan, I can't let you come on the show without asking you about one of our favorite topics, and that's the fact that the DAV of Minnesota supplies vans to bring our veterans to and from their medical appointments. And you've opened up the Iron Range up there, and you're bringing them in Duluth, and you're bringing them down here. And one of the things that we found out in the last couple of years is that even though you raise a lot of money and buy these vans, your drivers are volunteers.
Yeah, we can't do this program without volunteers. So if you have any free time and want to help, you know, we're always looking for volunteers across the state. You know, visit our website or even contact the local VA facility that you're nearby and sign up and become a volunteer driver, because we need the volunteers to help get our veterans to and from our medical appointments.
So we need them all over Minnesota.
All over Minnesota now, Minneapolis, St. Cloud, Duluth, Bemidji, Park Rapids, you name it, we'll find a spot to volunteer for.
All right, gentlemen, we'll find plenty of volunteers, and you do need them here in the Twin Cities as well.
That is correct.
Okay, well, we've had a good time talking today about Veterans Day on the Hill. The last call on that, it's Cedar Street Armory, Wednesday, March 16th at 10 a.m. It's a free event, and all veterans are welcome to attend. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Stephan Whitehead, the adjutant of the DAV of Minnesota, and Bob Connor, past department commander from 1987 and 88, legislative expert for the DAV of Minnesota. Thanks, gentlemen. Joining me now is the senior enlisted advisor to the adjutant general of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. You know, as I say every time we talk, I mean, it seems like just yesterday we met again, and it's always great to be on the program.
Sir, I don't know where the year's going. It's March already, and we've talked a few times, and the summer's coming up. You've got a busy summer coming, don't you?
Yeah, it's the schedule, the travel schedule is really starting to pick up. I think I'll be pretty steady out and about now through August. So, yeah, the schedule doesn't get any lighter.
Sergeant Major, one of the things we talked about earlier on the show today was Month of the Military Child. And I think you had some things you wanted to share with us about the Teen Leadership Forum.
Yeah, you know, I'll start off by saying that this year marks the 30th anniversary of Month of the Military Child, which is a pretty significant thing. And obviously, we always want to be able to support the children of our service members. And one of the things I'm having an opportunity to do this year is go to their Teen Leadership Forum and actually address them. We're going to have probably about 30 or so teens that are dependents of service members, and that's an opportunity for them to talk a little bit about setting goals, making plans, how to reevaluate the plan, make changes along the way, and really, at the end of the day, develop some networks with other teens that might be experiencing similar things that they are as a dependent of a service member, and develop some leadership skills along the way. So just a great opportunity for me to be able to give back to our dependents that really sacrifice a lot for us as service members, and maybe give them a little bit of insight of things I've picked up along the way in my 28-plus year career.
Sergeant Major, a lot of support for those military kids, and we hear from the teens every year when they come on the show that they enjoy getting together and share experiences as military children with others who have gone through that, so that sounds pretty valuable.
Yeah, it is. It's a very valuable tool and event because, you know, these kids, they get together. Like I said before, they'll meet up with people that have similar experiences, but they develop friendships that last for a lifetime. You know, for example, every year we have the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp up at Camp Ripley. It's 2 1-week camps for kids ages of 10 to 12, and that's the youth camp. And then we have the teen camp portion, which is 13 to 15. And these kids come from all over the state, from both Army and Air, and again, get together with other kids that have parents, relatives that are serving or have served, and they get the opportunity to share some of their stories, experiences, and be able to relate to someone or with someone that's had those similar experiences. So we do everything we can in the Minnesota Guard and the services in general to make sure we're supporting our kids and our dependents.
Sergeant Major, I understand coming up you've got some family readiness annual training as well.
Yeah, that's another great thing. You know, we can't do what we don't do or what we do without the support of our family members. You know, so we talk about the kids, but these family readiness groups, they have an annual training event. It's the Family Readiness Annual Training, and this is an opportunity for me to go out, talk to those volunteers, and really thank them for what they've done. I mean, listen to this, Tom. In 2015, in the Army Volunteer Management Information System, they're tracking almost 108,000 volunteers and logging over 2 million volunteer hours. And when you quantify that, it's about $53 million worth of volunteerism. Just in Minnesota, our volunteers have logged over 5,000 hours, equating to almost $120,000 of time and service that's been provided by these volunteers. So they do great things for us, and we just can't appreciate them enough, show enough appreciation. So that's why I get out and try to thank them and support them and ask them to continue to support us.
Sergeant Major, it's great to see that you're not only taking good care to train your troops, but take care of their children and support the families as well.
Well, we have to, and as I stated, we can't do what we do without them. We need their backing. We need their support, just like we do of all the other professional-type organizations. And this is just one small way that I personally have an opportunity to give back. And obviously, as a service, we have an opportunity to give back and really show our appreciation to everybody.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us again today.
Hey, Tom, thanks so much. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Mariah Legvold, Jenny Reckfertig, Stefan Whitehead, Bob Connor, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.